Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, church, for singing like that this morning. Welcome. Thank you for being here this morning. I want to ask first to get started. I want you to go ahead and take this out. We've got a bulletin. You received one of these. If you didn't get a bulletin, we still had some back there. But I encourage you to take that out. And guess, we encourage you to fill this out for us so we have a record of your visit. We're not going to inundate you with a bunch of phone calls or visits or anything like that. We'd just like to know who was here. And then on the back, we'll use at the end of the message here in just a few minutes to check off next steps. And there's always put your prayer request on the back as well and turn those in so we can pray for you this week. I do appreciate your prayers and kind words and thoughts for our family as we're walking through this time. I was with my sister when she passed. I was with her all day Monday with my mother and her husband, and with Kathy's husband and niece, her daughter. And then I was there with them through the day Wednesday and into the night that day. Just pray for us as we go through this, and as I try to drive and try to stay close to the speed limit when I leave here in a little while. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 15 this morning, verses 11 through 32. It's the story of the prodigal son. And I've titled this, Understanding His Father. Since it is Father's Day, we do encourage you to spend time with your father, if at all possible today, if he's still alive. If you can't spend time with him, at least call him. I certainly would if my father were still alive. He passed away 30 years ago this month. And one of my fondest memories, I was thinking about again on the way over here, one of my last memories of my father was, I was 31, and at the time, I was living in Ohio, and they were living in Kentucky, and I was back home for a visit, and I had discovered this thing called stunt kites. These are kites that I saw someone flying in Ohio, kites that actually hold two strings instead of one, and you can actually make them do tricks and circles and all kinds of stuff. And so I had just bought a set of stunt kites, and went at my father's house, my mom and dad, and he was home, and got down in the floor putting those kites together, and he actually got down in the floor with me to put those together, assemble those, and he had not been able to do that or get down on the floor with any of his children for some time. He was 57 when he passed away, and 2 weeks later after that, my time there with him on the floor in his living room, just as a special time to me of the father's love to get down on the floor and do something with his son there as we were putting those kites together. And so that's a good fond memory. Hopefully you have many fond memories with your dad and can create even more today. I'm reminded of the story as I was writing this of a father who was moving his office from upstairs in his home to his some of the books from his office from his upstairs to the basement of his home. And he had a young son who wanted to help and wanted to carry some of those books for his dad. And so his dad had him hold his arms out, and he put three books in the young boy's arms, and the young boy carried them down the steps very slowly down to the first floor, across the hallway, and down into the basement. And he struggled. It took him a while to do that, but his father was carrying books down at the same time and watching his son. And then the second trip, they went back upstairs, and the father had his boy hold his arms out, and he put three more books in his hand. And this young son started out the door and down this first set of stairs, and he dropped the books, and he started crying. He sat down on the steps crying. And his father came up to where he was, set his books down that he had in his arms, went down and gathered the books, the three books that his son had, went up and had his son hold his arms out. He put the books back in his son's arms, and then the father picked his son up and carried him and the books downstairs. And continued to do this. They went back upstairs, got three more books, put them in the son's arms, and the father carried the son down those two flights of stairs to the basement. And continued doing this until the books that he wanted all were down in the basement. And I just think that's a great story of the father's love, because that father could have said, son, just go on and play and I'll do it myself and I'll get done a lot faster. And it probably took him at least five times longer to get it done. But he was showing his son his love. And took the time, the extra time that it would take him to do this. Carrying his son, all those trips, making many more trips, and carrying the extra weight of his son each time as he went. And that is the father's love demonstrated. The bond between a father and his children is unique. It is even different from a mother's bond with her children. And today we're going to look at the story of the prodigal son, conceivably from a different point of view than we normally study this story. We're going to look at the possessions of the father that the prodigal son did not realize. did not see and did not take into consideration. The prodigal son thought that the possessions that were worthwhile were the material possessions of the family. Yet the father had at least three possessions that I want us to see today that were much greater than all the earthly possessions that he had. And so I'm going to ask if you would to please stand in honor of reading God's word. We're going to read the entire passage in Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, beginning with verse 11, we'll read through verse 32. And here it says, he, being Jesus, also said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he, the father, distributed the assets to his sons. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all that he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. Now let me stop just a second and just say, Jesus is telling this story to a group of Israelites. So to say that this son was lowered to the level of feeding pigs would have been the lowest thing possible. It's like going beyond rock bottom for a Jewish person. So that's what they were thinking here. He said, he sent him, this other countryman sent him into his field to feed pigs. He, the son, longed to eat his fill from even the carob pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him any. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's servants, hired hands, have more than enough food, and here I am dying of hunger? I will get up, go to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired hands. So he got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around the son's neck, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his slaves, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it. And let's celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing, so he summoned one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Your brother is here, he told him, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Then he, the older son, became angry and didn't want to go in, so his father came out and pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, look, I have been slaving many years for you, and I have never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him. Son, he said to him, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Father God, we thank you for your word, for being able to read your word, for being able to be fed spiritually by your word, to gain strength from your word, to carry on through the week. Father, I thank you and pray that your Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, will now speak to each one of our hearts and our minds. It goes beyond just our minds, but into our hearts and our very souls, to hear what you want to say to us today and what we can learn from reading your word and listening to your Holy Spirit's guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. I want us today, as I mentioned, to look at three possessions that this father had for his son. And the first one is the father's provision. You see, the father had all that the son would need to start his life and to provide for a family as he would raise a family. We see this in verses 12 and 13, and again in verse 17, and in verse 22. The father in this family was apparently well off. He had done well for his family. It is conceivable that he had a good work ethic and a mind for business. He had prospered very well. In fact, this father had everything that both of his sons would need to begin their own families. In biblical days, when a son became of age and would start a family or would be thinking about starting a family, the father would give the son part of a portion of the family wealth to help him get started. It's kind of an underpinning foundation, just something to help get him started. If the family had 150 sheep, the son might get 25 or 30 sheep. Just something to help him get started to provide for his family. And oftentimes, the son would stay close by, would either live in the family property or on the family property or close by, and would work with the father in the family business, even if that business was a farm, just simply farming. Families made up small communities, living, farming together, working together. And when the father died or was close to death, especially if he was close to death, he would pass on the wealth of his family and the estate to his sons. Daughters didn't get a portion, but each son got a portion of the estate. Daughters didn't, because they would be married off and they would expect that husband to have received a portion from his family. But each son would receive a portion of the family's wealth and possessions. In this parable, the younger son wanted to see the world. He wanted to sow his oats. He wanted to go out and just examine what else was out there and experience life and the fun and good of life. So he asked his father for his portion, the portion of the inheritance that he would get later normally, but this was at an earlier age, or at least an earlier time in life, because he wasn't ready to start a family. And I want us to look now and just flip that over to God, because our Heavenly Father has every possession that you and I need to live the most blessed and successful life. The most successful, the most blessed life possible. God the Father has every possession that you and I need. But He will not force you to use it the way He wants us and has purposed us to use it for what He's purposed it for us. It is ours if we claim it. And to receive the very best of life, we really should accept our inheritance and accept it the way God has planned it, the way He purposed for us, instead of trying to do it in our own way, use it for our own fleshly good. But due to our fleshly desires and our sinful nature, we are like this prodigal son. Every one of us. We do not understand the provision that the Father has for us and why He's given it to us. Even as believers, we take for granted God's provision. And we try to live the good life according to what the world tells us is the good life. Only our good is not the same as God's good. Scripture tells us that even our very best is like filthy rags compared to God's good. The good that we chase after in this life takes us away from God and keeps us from fulfilling His desire for us. He keeps us from fulfilling His full purpose for us. So often we live in spiritual poverty and we don't even know it. As Christians, as believers, as churchgoers. In our story, his father had everything the son needed to start a life of his own. And he gave this son his desire. He gave him his portion, the portion of his inheritance that would be scheduled to be given to him at a later date. Why? Why did the father do that? Well, I believe the reasoning leads us to the second factor, the second possession of the father that the son didn't even realize, and that is the father's love. You see, though he knew that his son's choice would lead down a wrong path, the father kept and stayed true to his character. He never wavered in his character. We see this in verse 12b. We see it in verse 20. And again in verses 22 and 23. The father perhaps realized his son had to learn life's lessons on his own. Even though the father knew it could be a difficult journey for his son, the decision was his son's. It was not his. Each one of us knows the pain of watching a family member taking a dark path for a number of years. We've known someone in our own family that's done this. And as much as we want to reach out and grab them and maybe shake them and protect them from themselves as well as the world, we cannot. Some of you parents have experienced this with a family member, with a child. I know because I read the prayer requests and I pray for you. Some of you are still going through these things. It's painful. It is painful because of our love for that child or that family member. This father had compassion and love. Even though his son had taken and squandered everything that he'd given him, the father had compassion, as we see in some of these verses. God's love for you and I is likewise. Oh, I just this week been thinking as I wrote this, or last week, a week ago as I wrote this, how much it must pain God each time you and I strike out on our own. Trying to do good, perhaps, but we strike out on our own. He has all the provisions for us. He has everything that we need. He has our heart's best interest. He has our best interest at heart. However you want to say it, He has your best interest and the provision for that. And yet we fail to see it or to realize it. We fail to act on it. We want to try things our way. And usually the reason we want to try things our way is because it's more comfortable for us. We're afraid to be stretched. And yet that's how we grow. And through it all, His love never falters. It never fails us. He loves us even when we walk away from Him. And I believe this leads us to the third possession of the Father that the prodigal son never realized, or at least had not realized until this point. And that is the Father's forgiveness. We first looked at the possession of the Father's provision. The Father had everything that He needed. We saw the Father's love and how He had compassion on Him and loved Him even after His son had done wrong in His eyes. And that leads us to the Father's forgiveness. Though the son had done wrong by the family and by culture and by his father, the father welcomed him home like royalty. Read it. It's in verses 22 and 23. And then again in 31 and 32, we see it 22 and 23. He says, bring the best robe. That's what you do for a king. Put a ring on his hand. That means he could go out and do anything in the family name. And that meant something. If you showed that ring or you laid that ring in wax and pressed them, that meant that's as good as any contract you could ever sign. And put sandals on his feet, he said. And then kill the fattened calf. The father welcomed him home like royalty, even though he had squandered all of this that he had given him. The son had literally wasted, blown through everything, all the money, all the possessions that had been given to him as an inheritance. The scripture says, and I love the words that this version says that I read from today, it says, when he came to his senses. I like that. Because it really, as I read that, it just, when he came to his senses. Because we know, you've done it. You've been walking your way, and then you realize, oh, why did I do that? That was so stupid. And the scripture says, when he came to his senses, he returned to his father's home, but not to reclaim his position as a son. This is how we know he did return to his senses, because he's not going back and saying, God, take me back in, please. Father, take me back in, please. Dad, I did all that, but let me come back in and everything will be different. It wasn't an entitlement. He did not go back looking for a position as a son. This once self-centered prodigal son had at last come to the realization that he did not deserve to be treated as a son in his own father's house. He did not deserve it. He realized, I don't deserve this to be a son anymore the way I treated you. Instead, he was returning to his home to beg his father to be a servant, to be a slave. This is how each one of us, this is how you, this is how me, how each one of us must come to God the Father. We must return to Him on our hands and knees as if to beg for his forgiveness. Like the young man in the story, you and I have wronged our Father, God the Father. You and I. And I'm not pointing fingers at you. I'm saying it's me. But you and I have wronged our Father. We have taken advantage of the privilege of the possessions that he's given us. As sons and daughters of his. See, we were made in his image. Yet we have each one tarnished that image. We're not worthy to be called his sons and daughters. I'm not worthy to be called a child of God. I know that. I know that I have defrauded God. I have defamed God. I have belittled God in the way that I've treated him and his possessions and his love for me. I do not deserve his forgiveness. It's not about deserving. It's about an awesome Father and a possession that he wants to give me. I do not deserve his forgiveness. And if you'll come to that realization, you know, and you'll say it too, you don't deserve it either. No matter what your earthly possessions, even if you had all the wealth in the world, these three possessions that we've just talked about are far greater than gaining the whole world and all the possessions in the world. These three possessions, the Father's provision, he's provided everything that you need. Everything that you need. And more than you can want. Each one of us in this room here today, we could give away at least half of what we own, and we'd never miss a beat of living the way we want to live. The way we want to live. Not the way God has purposed us to live. We could give away half of it and still be living above the means of what God has given us as possessions. It's God's provision. He has everything. He's provided everything that we need. God's love, the second possession. He loves us so much that even when we go rock bottom, he comes running to us, arms wide open. The father in this story said he went running to him with compassion. And God, like this man, God forgives us. He has a forgiveness that you and I don't deserve. And really, if you ever just stop and think about your life and the forgiveness that God has poured out on you, you'll realize, wow, how could a God even do that for me? These three possessions of the Father in the story of the prodigal son are the possessions of God our Father. And like the prodigal son, you and I need to realize the truth of these possessions. The Father's provision, the Father's love, and his forgiveness. Like the prodigal, you and I are the recipients of the greatest possessions possible from our Father, our Heavenly Father, God Almighty. If you have a chance today, ponder those three possessions from your earthly father, and maybe it'll help you to understand a little bit more about your heavenly father and how much greater those possessions are from our heavenly father. I'm going to ask that you, if you will. Now, I will say this. Let me go ahead and make a disclaimer here. This message is a little shorter than normal. It has nothing to do with the situation going on in my family right now. Gordon will tell you, I didn't get this to Gordon until Monday night, late Monday night, and I tried to get it to him a little earlier than that. But I sent him an email with Gordon and Leanne and Camille and just said, sorry, it's a little late. But one of the reasons it was later than normal was I kept thinking, there has to be more. There has to be more. And God said, that's it. That's the message. That's the one. Those are the three. And so I want you to take this out, if you would, right now. Let's look at the next steps. The side on this paper that has the black bar on it that says next steps. I'm sorry. I told Lawrence I wouldn't do that. I didn't wear my headpiece today intentionally, so I won't wear it to the funeral home. But I just try to stay in front of the microphone. On the back side of this, it says, my response to God today And it's, as a servant leader, I ask that you just write your first name in there. This is so I can pray for you. I'm going to collect these and I pray for each one of these as they come in. As a servant leader, I, in the first box there says, if you want to check that, if this is what God is telling, speaking with you about today, I relish serving in the Father's provision. This week, just think about all that God has provided you and how are you relishing in that provision? The second one says, to bathe in the Father's love. Do you remember what it felt like when you first fell in love? Okay, so for some of you, you can't remember that far back. But for most of us, you know, we can. You understand, you remember that, what it felt to fall in love and how that was. And just everything, wanted to be around that person, with that person. You just everything, every thought that you had was about that love. Bathe this week in the Father's love. And then the third box there says to express gladness in the Father's forgiveness. Are you truly grateful for his forgiveness? When have you really said that heartfelt to God, to thank him for his forgiveness? Have you taken time to do that? I encourage you to do that. And then there's another box there for other. If you have something else that God's been speaking to you about, then check that box. Or one of the four at the bottom there that you can check, and then write your prayer request on there as well. Folks, God has given us, and he has given us families to love, to take care of us, to encourage one another. Not just our family, bloodline family, but a family like this. And so I appreciate that family feeling. And I've had two or three of you tell me this week, you're family. So we love you. And I appreciate that. And if your father's alive today, make sure you contact him. Tell him that you love him. Because he loves you. You may not have always seen it in some cases, but he loves you. And God uses that term, as I've preached on that once before, I believe, to show us the importance of our connection to him, our Heavenly Father, much greater than any relationship we can have here on earth. Would you stand with me as we enter our time of invitation? This is a time when we ask God to allow us to respond to him. He's been speaking to you. How will you respond to him? Fill those little pieces of paper out. Pass them to the center. Charles will be picking them up at the end of the first verse. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning thanking you for this time when we can get together, we can join together and worship together and praise you and lift our voice in song and our hearts in prayer. Father, I thank you for the time that we can spend today, whether it's here at church with our fathers or later today, or at least speaking to them. And I thank you for the time that I have with my father, though it's been 30 years since I've seen him. I had 31 great years and great memories. And Father, I pray that each one, that even if there's hardship between father and son, that would be dissolved today, removed today. But Father, I pray especially for this time that we would respond to you as our Father, as our eternal Father, our heavenly Father, who has provision for us even greater than we could expect or imagine. You who has a love for us, each one of us, that is far greater than the greatest love we've ever felt here on earth. And when we do wrong, you even are so compassionate that you forgive us when we repent and turn to you. Father, I pray that if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, they would not walk out of this building without making that decision for you. I can't think of a greater gift for a father than to learn his child has entered the kingdom of heaven on earth and then after this life. Father, whatever it is you're speaking to us today about, whether it be church membership, whether someone's been here for the very first time today or they've been here for months or even years, that you're leading them to make that decision, to make that public, to become a member of the church, then you would bring them, lead them here down this aisle during this time and mark it on their card that we can follow up. Father, as you continue to speak to us, may we be faithful and obedient and listening to your Holy Spirit and responding as you need us and require us and desire us to. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.